What up, what up, what up, what up, Raider Nation? Happy Friday. Obviously, this isn't JT the Brick's voice. This is Vinny Bonsignor sitting in for JT the Brick from 12 to 2 p.m. today. But nevertheless, fired up by JT, man. Every time I hear that promo, I'm ready to run through a wall. And what a perfect way to set up what's going to be a eventful week starting on Monday. Get ready, Raider Nation, because when I say that there's going to be news breaking left and right, actually, there was news earlier today. We'll get to that. And it involves a quarterback, by the way, a veteran quarterback being released by the Raiders. We'll get to that in just 1 second. But we are literally sitting on the eve of free agency. And I know the Raiders have some money to burn. They've got cap space. They've got some needs along the offensive line, the defensive line. And I would expect some action early on, starting next week. Remember, the legal tampering period starts, I want to say 9 a.m. I always get confused with the East Coast time, and we always get the short end of the stick here on the West Coast. But suffice to say, starting on Monday, every team in the NFL will have a window in which they can enter into contract negotiations and contract agreements with prospective free agents or unrestricted free agents. That tampering window lasts a couple of days, and then all of those announcements, we'll hear about all those announcements, or excuse me, all those agreements being made Monday through Tuesday, and then later on in the week, the official league year starts, and you can actually put pen to paper and make it all official. But one way or another, there's going to be some new Raiders, and they're going to be on the team or in agreement with contracts with the Raiders beginning on Monday. I can't wait. So get ready for that. And obviously hearing that promo from JT, just fight, let's get to work, let's do it all. It kind of is the perfect segue or perfect push into what's going to happen next week. And we want your involvement here on Friday. Give us a call or text us at 702-365-9200. I'm asking a couple of pertinent questions. Number one, and we touched on this yesterday, I wrote about it today. I know Ed Graney, my great colleague over at the Las Vegas Review-Journal and Vegas Nation, also put in a column on this subject, but the subject being Russell Wilson. We talked about it yesterday. We talked about the possibility. We talked about why it made sense for a few teams, including the Raiders, to think long and hard about Russell Wilson as a possible quarterback solution. I know it kind of contradicts and goes against what Antonio Pierce talked about last week at the scouting combine, where he didn't want Band-Aids at quarterback. And I get that and I understand it. And frankly, I'm right there with him. I think ideally, and echoing Antonio Pierce, and I quoted him again in my story this morning, which is up over at VegasNation.com, ideally the Raiders want their next quarterback starter to come from the draft, and specifically this draft coming up next month. But as I also wrote, and obviously Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce, the Raiders leaders, they understand that wanting something and what they want actually happening are two completely different things. And I say that because when you're talking about that quarterback position, when you're talking about the draft, when you're talking about where the Raiders draft currently at number 13 and where they have to go in order to get access to one of the premier prospects in this draft. You want to talk about Caleb Williams? You want to talk about Jaden Daniels? You want to talk about Drake May from North Carolina? Whatever order you might have them in. You want to talk about J.J. McCarthy, who seems to be, if you believe what you're hearing from some of these draft experts, if you're going on what I've heard from general managers that I've talked to, he really is highly regarded. And so he might be quarterback 4. Heck, by the time it's all said and done, he might be quarterback 3 in terms of the draft. The point being is if the Raiders want access to any of those quarterbacks that I just mentioned who are considered right now as we speak today, a month or so, month and a half or so away from the draft, those are the 4 top candidates or 4 top prospects, quarterbacks, in this draft. Well, good luck getting any of those guys at pick number 13. It would take kind of a monumental fall. Something surprising would have had to happen, something that's unforeseen at this point, to sit at number 13 and get any of those, be able to draft any of those quarterbacks. So the point, that point being, is that they're going to have to move up. And wanting to move up, being motivated to move up, being willing to give up what would be needed to move up, that's one piece of the puzzle. The other part of it is finding a trade partner, and then agreeing, coming into agreement on what that might take. So long story short, it might not happen. It could be, the Raiders could get stonewalled out of that. And as a result, and maybe they're having conversations right now that lead them to that kind of conclusion. A lot can happen between now and April, obviously. But what do you do if you have any misgivings as of right now on the eve of free agency and there's a quarterback by the name of Russell Wilson that's available, like literally right now? You don't even have to wait till Friday to sign him. He was just an out-and-out release. You can take care of that ASAP for $1.2 million. Yeah, he's getting paid $38 million next year. But guess what? That's the bulk of that's going to be paid by the Denver Broncos, who, I don't know what word you want to use, idiotically maybe, foolishly, gave up five players and draft picks, a combination of players and draft picks, to go get Russell Wilson a couple of years ago. And then they signed him to a massive contract, you know, well over $200 million, which I want to say it was $165 million or right around there, approximately, let's say, in full guarantees, of which $38 million is on their ledger this year for his services this year. He's not on their team anymore, but they have to pay that $38 million. Let's just say he doesn't sign with anybody. They pay him $38 million, period, exclamation point. That's it. It's a done deal, guaranteed. But if somebody else signs him, let's say the Raiders, all they have to pay him is the league minimum, and the offset is paid by the Broncos. So the league minimum, 1.2-ish, right around there. The rest of that money is going to be paid by the Broncos. So imagine a team like the Raiders getting a motivated Russell Wilson, who, oh, by the way, did not play all that badly last year. As our good friend Benjamin Albright from Denver noted yesterday on the show, when Russell Wilson was benched, he wasn't benched for performance issues. He was literally top five in the NFL in touchdowns at the time of the benching. They didn't bench him because he wasn't playing well. They benched him because they didn't want to be on the hook for next year's salary, I think $38 million in 2025. Because if he gets hurt, or if he would have gotten hurt in those last few games, that an injury guarantee was applied to that, or is applied to that $38 million or that 2025 salary. And so they would have been on the hook for that in addition to the $38 million this year. So you do the math, you know, close to $70 million that they would have had to be on the hook for if he had gotten hurt last year. So they were protecting their interests and saying, look, we're already paying you $38 million, and fat chance you're going to be here next year. We're done with you. And that's a whole other story. But they weren't going to extend themselves even further by potentially having to pay him another $38 million for 2025. So they benched him. But it had nothing to do with performance. He was actually playing pretty well. As we said, the fifth highest or among the top five in touchdowns last year. He finished the season with 26 touchdowns against eight interceptions. Not really bad. Those aren't bad numbers at all, and they would kind of fit pretty well here with the Raiders. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I am saying that Russell Wilson is a possibility. He has to be a possibility. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and it would be a derelict of duty if you're Tom Telesco and you're Antonio Pierce, if you don't at least kick the tires on that. You kind of have to, because number one, he would represent the best quarterback that the Raiders had on the roster right now. And that, all due respect to Aiden O'Connell, who I thought played well last year under extenuating circumstances, trying circumstances. Imagine being a rookie, your head spinning as it is, and all of a sudden, midway through the season, you're now the starting quarterback. You're going to replace Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, by the way, we're changing the head coach. It's no longer Josh McDaniels. It's going to be Antonio Pierce. And by the way, We're also changing your offensive coordinator. Mick Lombardi is out. Bo Hardegree is in. I guess the good news of that was Bo was the quarterback coach, so he and Aiden already had a pretty good relationship by then. But imagine being a rookie and your head's already spinning, and all of a sudden all of this happens. Now go out there and play. Never batted an eye. Went 5-4. Played reasonably well for a rookie, and when you stack him up against the other rookies in that 2023 draft class, measured up pretty well. But Russell Wilson, quite frankly, played better, is better, represents a better option, at this point. Not saying that's option A, because I do think that the Raiders are motivated and want to move up. I think they've got their eye on Jaden Daniels. You can all make the connections there. Antonio Pierce recruited him when Antonio was the recruiting coordinator and defensive coordinator over at Arizona State a few years ago. Saw something in the San Bernardino, Jaden Daniels, 155 pounds, dripping wet, and said, guess what? You come here to Arizona State, you're going to win the Heisman Trophy. Imagine hearing that as a 16, 17-year-old kid. They actually ended up winning the Heisman Trophy. It just wasn't at Arizona State. He ended up transferring to LSU and did his thing at LSU and became one of the premier quarterback prospects in the country as a result. But don't think for a second that Jaden Daniels isn't like, man, that's the dude that saw in me what I didn't even see in myself at that time. When I'm sitting there, a skinny kid from San Bernardino High School, Cajon High School, and he saw my future and put it out there in that way. Yeah, I like the possibility of reuniting with Antonio Pierce. And Antonio Pierce, obviously, there's a connection there between him and Jaden as well. So I think that's the number one choice. But again, the number one choice doesn't always happen. Life just doesn't work that way. So you have to have fallback options. And I'm asking you guys, as a fallback option, what do you think about Russell Wilson? Give us a call at 702-365-9200. We've got a fun show for you today. Howard Balzer, who covers the Arizona Cardinals, is going to come on in just a couple of minutes, actually. And then Sam Farmer from the LA Times, he does a fabulous job covering the NFL, will be joining us at 1 o'clock. And I really wanted to talk to Howard here in a couple of minutes, because when we're talking about trading up, when we're talking about the possibility of the Raiders trying to get access to either a Jaden Daniels or a J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, the Cardinals are sitting up there at number four. They've got their quarterback, and they've got other needs. Would they be willing to potentially trade with the Raiders to gather even more picks for their rebuild to help Kyler Murray? So I wanted to bring on Howard Balzer to talk about that. Also, he's really tuned in with the Hall of Fame, and I kind of want to talk to him about where Max Crosby is right now in terms of the Hall of Fame track. I know that's way out there, but I know Max, and I know that he wants to be one of the best ever, and the Hall of Fame is how you measure the best ever. Where is Max Crosby in terms of that? We're going to go out to the Raider Nation Radio caller line and welcome in Mark from the Bay Area. Mark, how's it going, brother?
Good. How you doing, Benny?
I'm doing excellent, thank you.
At first, sounds of Russell Wilson coming to the Raiders, I was like, but the more I've been thinking about this and, listening to Raider Nation Radio, and the system that we're going to be running with Luke Getsy is the West Coast system. Russell Wilson, I think, could be the perfect fit. But, this guy, I was watching some highlight tape of him the other day, and the guy can still scramble at 35, 36, whatever age he is. Last year, I saw him take off for 20, 30-yard runs. And what were we missing last year? Aiden O'Connell is a good pocket passer. But in this league, I think you really do, in this day and age, you need that dual threat. And I could see him, people are saying, well, he's a Band-Aid, where Antonio Pierce said we don't want to, just a Band-Aid fix. This guy's a future Hall of Famer. I could see him having 2 to 3 good years left in him. So I don't look at him as like a Band-Aid fix. I think that, you still draft a young quarterback. It doesn't have to be in the first round. You could move up from the second round to the late first, so you get that extra year with the young quarterback. And I'm actually all for it now. I'm kind of wondering why he wouldn't have been in sooner. I don't know, Pittsburgh. It kind of makes me wonder, do you think With that being said, Vinny, I guess my question is, do you think the Raiders are that serious about it where he's already visited the Giants, he's at the Steelers today? How serious do you think the Raiders are on it, I guess is my question.
I think serious enough to sit down and talk to him, for sure, and find out where he is, where his headspace is, you know, what his motivations are, how he feels about, you know, what happened in Denver and you know, what his expectations would be. I know that there's always been a lot of reports about some of the things that he asked for from the Broncos, his own office, this and that. You know, I don't think that the Raiders would be real interested in any of that type of stuff. So, but I do think that they're curious, and we'll see what happens in Pittsburgh. Heck, the Steelers may not let him out of the building. You know, that's a possibility as well. But I think if he gets out of the building in Pittsburgh, I think if you're the Raiders, there's definitely interest in at least kicking the tires and finding out where he is. We're going to go. I appreciate the call, Mark. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation radio guest line and welcome in my good friend from Arizona by way of St. Louis, by way of other places as well. But one of the great NFL reporters of all time, Howard Balzer. He now is the Cardinals NFL reporter for the Cards Wire. He's a Hall of Fame selector. He knows this league inside and out, especially the Cardinals. And Howard, I wanted to bring you on. First of all, welcome. I hope all is well. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on, among many reasons, and we'll get to them, is I wanted to talk to you about the Cardinals because, you know, the Raiders, as you probably know, they need a quarterback. The Cardinals have their quarterback in Kyler Murray, and we're going to get into that in terms of how in are they still on Kyler Murray. But based on what you know about where the Cardinals are right now, and there's a lot of holes that they need to fill, and there's a lot of help that they're trying to get for Kyler Murray, but how open do you think the Cardinals would be to potentially trading down, you know, from that fourth spot?
Yeah, I mean, and it's great to be with you, Vinny, always, and appreciate the kind words, but I think, as most teams are normally, they're always open to moving around if they feel that that's the best move. And obviously, a lot will depend on what happens in front of them with the first three picks. But the way we see quarterbacks pushed up in the evaluation every year, even knowing going in that probably half of them, when you get 3 or 4 or 5 years from now, they're not going to be with those teams anymore. But teams push them up in value because they're the best guys available in that draft. And so will there be three quarterbacks taken right in a row, 1, 2, 3? Certainly very possible that could happen. The big question in terms of trading down is, will there be a team, whether it's, and let's assume those three quarterbacks are taken by the teams that are in those spots, which of course are the Bears, are the Commanders, and of course the Patriots. Well, then it comes down to, will there be another team like the Falcons, like the Raiders, whoever, that would like to get to 4 to get the next quarterback? And that's the unknown. Could it be a J.J. McCarthy? Could it be a Bo Nix? I mean, you know, who knows? And so, but yes, the Cardinals, I think, will listen. And I think the key is, while everyone here, Vinny, in Arizona, is just head over heels with the opportunity to get
Marvin Harrison?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
I was reading your mind, Howard.
Yeah, that you know, everyone is head over heels with it. The next decision then for the Cardinals is, do we trade down, pick up extra things in the draft? How far will they have to trade down? And while they might lose out on Harrison, but might not, who knows, do they like the next two receivers, whatever order they're in, Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze, do they like one of those enough to say, hey, we'd be happy to get that guy just as much as we'd love to have Marvin Harrison Jr., and still pick up those extra picks coming down the pike that will continue to help make that team better. So those are all things that are in the mix. I don't think there's any doubt that anything is possible and that they will obviously listen when the phone rings during that draft as we see those players start falling off the board.
Yeah, and it's an interesting take, and you pointed out, you know, the other wide receivers, you know, Rome being one of them, Nabers from LSU. Rome's out here from a kid from Las Vegas, Bishop Gorman High School. But I don't know, and I wanted to ask you, and it's impossible to get into the Cardinals' head to see exactly, you know, how they stack those wide receivers and you know, what the disparity is between 1 and 2 and 2 and 3 and you know, and so on and so forth. But I feel like I don't think the disparity is that wide. Let's put it that way. And so as a result of that, because there's such depth in this wide receiver group, do you think that that would make them a little bit more willing to maybe go a little bit further down than one might think, because they feel like one of those three would still be there, perhaps at 13, where the Raiders pick?
Yeah, now, I don't know if they would, one of those would be there at that point. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they would want to risk that, but I do agree with you that there's perhaps not that much difference. And the reality is, go back to the draft of 2020, and it's always important to look at history, and it doesn't necessarily mean that every year will be like that, but we see it frequently, where everyone loves the receiver. Yeah, hey, the Raiders were involved in 2020
oh, yeah.
when the first receiver off the board was Henry Ruggs. And then Denver took Jerry Jeudy. And while he's still there and still a good player, he's certainly not one of the best in that group. Then Dallas took C.D. Lamb. And then Jalen Reagor went one spot before Justin Jefferson.
Right.
You know, Justin Jefferson was the fifth receiver taken in that draft. And then after him in the first round was Brandon Ayuk. And then early in the second round was T. Higgins and Michael Pittman Jr., who are both now franchised by their teams. So I think, you know, that's what you have to look at in perspective when you're deciding who to draft. And we see it frequently that, hey, the guys that get picked higher aren't always the ones that play the best. And so I think that's what the Cardinals will be, you know, evaluating. And I will say this, that there was someone very close to the Cardinals scouting situation who told me, you don't have to get the guy that's perceived to be the best receiver, for example, just get one of the best. And I certainly think that, you know, Neighbors and I'm drawing here. Yeah, I just talked about him. And Neighbors and Odunze,
Marvin Harrison,
are one of the best.
Right.
And so I think that's what they'll be looking at, as well as the possibility of trading down. And hey, we could get a receiver in the second round, maybe not when those top three. I mean, a lot of people think, Vinny, that there'll be 12 receivers mm-hmm. picked in the first 50 players, which isn't that unusual, because a couple years ago there were 10 or 11 that went in the top 50. And so even if they would come back later, they have a later first-round pick, they have an early second-round pick. So if they would trade down and one of those three receivers aren't there, they might be perfectly happy to take another young offensive tackle or take a cornerback that might be the best on their list. So I think they've got a lot of different directions that they could potentially go.
Yeah, and, you know, when you mentioned those extra picks, just to remind everybody, they made a massive deal last year in the draft.
Yes.
With the Houston Texans, correct? And so they have a lot of picks as it is, but for their purposes, and which makes, you know, when you're thinking about it along those terms, they're going to have a lot of cracks up to bat, you know, to get fill all kinds of different needs. So, but by expanding that even more, that just gives them even more at bats to go fill their needs. And we're talking to the great Howard Balzer. He's now the Cardinals and NFL reporter at CardsWire. .com or CardsWire, and has been a historian of the NFL, covering the NFL for years. As the historian that you are, Howard, when you're thinking about, let's just say, because we're talking about the Raiders here and we're talking about the Cardinals, what do you think it would take? And if the Cardinals were open to moving down to 13, what do you think it would take from the Raiders' perspective to get up to number four to put them in a better position to draft one of these quarterbacks?
It would take certainly, you know, probably a couple of picks in this draft. Might be second and third round, might be second and fourth. It probably would be a first-round pick next year and another pick later in that 2025 draft. I think that would be the minimum for the Cardinals to go down nine picks.
Right.
Now, what they might be trying to do, and let's remember, you mentioned what they did last year. They traded down from 3 to 12 with the Texans and got a bunch of those picks, and then traded back up to 6 because they had a lot of extra things to give away. And they traded back to 6 and ended up with Paris Johnson Jr., mm-hmm. who started every game at right tackle as a rookie and never missed a snap all season. So that would certainly be something that they would probably attempt to do if they were, you know, to go down 9 picks, you know, to 13. So it would take a lot. And a lot, obviously, would depend on the Raiders. Do they feel it's worth it to get that quarterback there? Or do they wait and think, because remember, if they're getting the fourth quarterback there, then from the Raiders' standpoint, they'd have to be thinking, well, how much difference is there between, let's say, McCarthy and Bo Nix?
Right.
And assuming that, and maybe, you know, put Michael Penix Jr. in there and assume that one of those three is the guy that they would like to get. Well, they'd probably be able to get one of those at 13. And so do they then take that, you know, that risk and say, well, we're willing to sit, we're willing to wait, and then see how it develops. Now, having said that, if all of a sudden one, a couple of those guys go off the board and it's at 8 or 9, and let's say they're concerned with who's going to be there at 13, then maybe they make the trade then to move up, which won't take as much to get up to that number as it would to get the number 4.
Yeah, without question. And Howard, yeah, I'm so curious about the Kyler Murray Cardinals relationship, and obviously there's a lot of money that's tied into Kyler Murray. There's also a lot of untapped potential with Kyler Murray, and so while this time last year maybe we were dubious on whether or not he was actually going to be back in 2024. I think obviously that is the case. It's why they're probably looking elsewhere in the draft at other positions to supplement around him. But how tied in are they truly? And the follow up to that question would be, how big of a year is this for Kyler Murray to certainly establish that knot is tied as tightly as possible?
No, it's a great question, and I think he certainly answered questions very positively during last year with the way he attacked his rehab from the torn ACL, the way he was all in on learning a new offense and doing as much as he could off the field because he didn't get on the field for his first practice until October.
Mm-hmm.
And then he answered the questions in the final 8 games of the season in terms of all those things. So I think this next year, this coming season, is obviously a big test, you know, to see now that he'll have an off season of working on football as opposed to just, you know, not only, you know, only football and not rehab. And so I think that's important. It's coupled with what the Cardinals do to improve the team around him. And that always has to be a big part of the evaluation and the equation for a guy taking those steps. But I think they expect him to take those steps. You know, a lot of people, you know, they only won 4 games last season. The last game of the season they would have won had the kicker, one of the best kickers in the league, Matt Prater, he had 2 opportunities late in the game to kick a field goal and miss them. And so many believe, and I believe it too, that if he had been there all year, all season, they're probably maybe, you know, a 7 or an 8 win team,
mm-hmm.
which all of a sudden looks a lot better, obviously, than 4. And so it's not that much of a step to think that with him for the whole year and staying healthy with improved talent around him, that this could be. And let's be honest, I mean, here's the thing, Vinny. If you have 6 or 7 wins with 3 or 4 games to go in the season and you're hovering right around that 500 mark, you're in the hunt for at least a wild card spot in the playoffs, and you're in contention. And I don't think there's any reason to believe that that might not, that could be possible if all these things go right. So I think they are committed to him. Now, could things change? And after this next season, they say, well, he didn't progress like he wanted, we're not sure if he's the guy, then it's always possible that you would move on from him, and it becomes financially a little bit easier to do after another season in terms of the salary cap and all those things. But so it is an important season. It's an important season for the entire organization to show that they can improve from what they did last year and be a better football team. And I think that Kyler Murray certainly is a big part of that, and there's no reason to think that he won't make those progress. And, of course, based on how he has played in the past when he had DeAndre Hopkins and when they had a lot more weapons than they had last season with the way everything developed around him when he came back for the second half of the season.
Last question for you, Howard, because I know you got to go. You have a Hall of Fame vote. You host a Hall of Fame radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio, which I love, by the way. I'm curious, outside of the quarterbacks in the NFL that are currently in the NFL, who are we looking at as future Hall of Famers? And specifically, and I know this is still a ways out there for him, but Max Crosby, I think, is on that kind of a track. He needs to stay on it, obviously. But where in terms of his, Max's track toward Canton, Ohio, where is he alongside, you know, his colleagues at a similar position and a similar age?
that's the question there in terms of his colleagues and his peers, mm-hmm. if you will, because we see it often with certain positions with the Hall of Fame that log jams get created among certain positions. You know, we've seen it in the past with pass rushers. We've seen it currently with pass rushers, where, of course, we have two going in this year with Julius Peppers and Dwight Freeney, mm-hmm. and Jared Allen still there knocking on the door and waiting for his turn. But, hey, when you look around the league, and I think Max is on that path to certainly be in that consideration, but then you also have Myles Garrett, and you've got T.J. Watt, and you've got Nick Bosa, all great edge rushers. And obviously a lot sometimes depends on the timing of it. When does a guy become eligible for the first time?
Right.
When a bunch of guys do become eligible at the first time at the same position, it creates a kind of a pecking order, which is only revealed by how the votes go. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, I think he's on the path. Certainly, like you said, he's got to continue playing at the high level that he has. There's no reason to think he won't. But that position, that edge rush position, there's a lot of great players that will also be on that path. And so I would think, quite honestly, at some point he will get in, but how long he will have to wait will be the question, just because of the way the whole process works and all those other excellent players that are currently playing also.
I appreciate it, Howard. And next time we have you on, we're going to talk about Devontae Adams and his candidacy for the Hall of Fame, because I think, like Max, he's on track for that as well. So I always appreciate talking to you, Howard. Always learn something when I do, and always love the insight. So be well, my friend, and get ready for a busy week next week. I know you're ready to go too.
no doubt about that. And always enjoy coming on with you. So anytime, love obviously talking ball, and certainly love always talking Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you mentioned with Adams, I'm not going to get more into it now, but hey, the logjam is there now.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
A lot of guys that haven't been able to get to the finals because for several years there were three finalists, and finally Andre Johnson got in, and that might create a spot for Steve Smith, senior, whoever else. But there's so many great guys. And let's remember, in 2 years, guess who's eligible? Only 2 years. Seems like yesterday that he played his last game, and that's Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, so wow. Yeah.
There's so many great numbers among those wide receivers that it creates a weight for a bunch of guys.
Yeah, absolutely. The golden age of wide receivers. Howard Balzer, have a great weekend. Rest up for the next week, and look forward to talking to you next time, brother.
Look forward to it, man. Take care. Thanks.
You too. That was Howard Balzer. We went over a little over, but I wanted to talk to him about Max Crosby and the candidacy for the Hall of Fame. This is the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vinny Monsignor. When we come back, we'll get back into Max Crosby as a future Hall of Famer, Russell Wilson possibly meeting with the Raiders. It's all out there. Talk to you in just a minute.
I would say to Russell, look, prove it to us. I'd do a one-year deal, because when you get into that second year, and if you start to have to guarantee any money in that second year, I don't think that – I mean, I don't think you can sit there and say to the tape, I want to do – this is a smart move for me. I see this as a one-year prove-it type deal. With Baker Mayfield signed in and down in Tampa Bay, prove it to me. Come show me you have it. And if you're good enough, we'll re-sign you. That's not an issue.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7 p.m. and midnight to 2 a.m.
That was Mike Lombardi, former NFL general manager, former executive with the Raiders, talking about Russell Wilson and how far he would go in terms of signing him and the longevity of the contract. One-year deal, prove it to me, and then we'll talk about next year after that, kind of like what Baker Mayfield got with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm down for that. We'll see. I think the Raiders have bigger fish to fry, but you have to find the fish. You have to find somebody. You have to find a boat. You got to find all these or a dock, something. And not all of that is accessible to the Raiders just yet. So and maybe they won't have all the necessary components in place to make a trade up to go get one of the preferred choices in the draft. And maybe Russell Wilson becomes the more logical choice for the 2024 season. And if he plays really well, then you start talking about 2025. But first, he has to play well in 2024 for $1.2 million. Not the worst option if you're the Raiders or any team for that matter that needs a veteran presence at quarterback. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation radio listener line because John is in Salt Lake City. How you doing, John?
Vinny, it's good to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and likewise, brother.
Thanks. thinks. Vinny, I'm upset and I'm disappointed.
Uh-oh.
You know, I hear Coach Pierce talk about knocking off the Chiefs and winning the division, mm-hmm. and yet the Raiders' best chance of that just happening just is landing in Pittsburgh right now. Look, I would love to have Jaden Daniels, because there's only two quarterbacks worth draft capital when you talk about moving up. That's Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. Because if you think J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Penix is worth that, no, it's not. Because you're going to walk into the locker room, if you're Antonio Pierce, and tell Devontae Adams, hey, here's our grand plan. We're drafting J.J. McCarthy. No, no. You have a two-time Super Bowl competitor, one-time Super Bowl champion out there that you could get for league minimum. Let me repeat, league minimum, and it costs you no draft capital, and you wanted to throw in the Chiefs, there's your best option. There isn't a better option out there. Russell Wilson played on a bad Denver football team. They never were a quarterback away. That was the biggest misleading conception out there. He had Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. Are you kidding me? They're nowhere near Jacoby Myers and Devontae Adams. You bring Russell Wilson into this team, you are now instantly, without question in my mind, at the second best team in the division with the chance to knock off the Chiefs. If you don't, and you go into next year, and look, I like Aiden O'Connell. I think the one thing he's proven is he can play. Because I'll tell you right now, I take Aiden O'Connell over J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, or Michael Penix. Why? Because he's proven. None of those guys have played it down in the NFL. Everybody has to remember, franchise quarterback is a term. It's not given. It's earned. Everybody is a franchise quarterback. Go look at Vince Taylor. I mean, Johnny Manziel. All of those guys were franchise quarterbacks. Zach Wilson, where are they now? The Raiders have an opportunity to get a guy that has been a proven winner, and he's landed in Pittsburgh. I hope it doesn't happen. But they will have missed a golden opportunity. And that's, you know, that's my take, is I don't think we're going to be able to get Jaden Daniels. I think if we were going to move up, we would have already done it. I think they've talked to those teams. There's no deal in place. I don't see those teams going out of those positions. I hope Russell Wilson leaves Pittsburgh. I hope they decide to, you know, go with Pickett. But boy, did they let an opportunity slip away here if they didn't. Anyway, thanks for my call, Vinny. Have a good one.
You got it, John. I'm a little bit more bullish on J.J. McCarthy. I think that he's got the necessary skill set to potentially be a franchise-caliber quarterback. But, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I guess I would be a little bit surprised if he and the Steelers came to a deal this quickly, because if the Raiders are genuinely interested, and Adam Schefter was correct in his report that there's a possibility that he'll meet with the Raiders, I would think he'd want to meet with the Raiders to hear what they have to say as well. Playing indoors, playing in a great city like Las Vegas, he's a kind of a West Coast guy now, more out west than you know, back east. I would think that this checks off a lot of boxes for him, and he would at least want to hear what the Raiders had to say. Back out to the caller line, Raider Mike is on the line. How you doing, Raider Mike?
What's up, Paizan?
How are you, my brother?
It's Vegas, bro.
It is.
Day, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm going to make my lasagna for you.
Uh-oh.
And your family one day.
Okay, all right.
I guarantee that.
I never say no to lasagna.
Train me on that. You know,
yeah.
I'm good to go. Anyway, you guys just smashed my call, the previous caller and you. The points are already there.
Hmm.
No, he needs to come to Vegas, and he will stay in Vegas. It's our best option unless we can move up there to get Jaden. Otherwise, let the 13 come to us. You got a future Hall of Famer, and he sees Devontae and Meyer and the whole crew. Jake's coming back no matter what. And he's going to go, I get my second ring and go, there's no question I'm Hall of Famer. No questions.
What yeah.
Of a third, Vinny.
Right. It becomes more intriguing the more I think about it. And the more I honestly talking to some people in Denver about kind of what happened in Denver and then looking at the numbers again, because I quite frankly hadn't been paying too much attention to his numbers, and they're not that bad. They're actually pretty darn good. And they would represent an upgrade here with the Raiders. And it would sure, I would imagine if you're Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers, that's a quarterback that you respect and you would want to play with and would create a comfort level. It doesn't mean it has to be for 5 years. It doesn't even mean the Raiders don't have to draft a quarterback. You know, they could still do that, but also have Russell Wilson for this year. And then maybe you start talking about, you know, making it a more permanent thing if he plays well enough in 2024. At $1.2 million, what do you got to lose? I appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you very much. It's intriguing, and it's something that I think Raider fans have to wrap their head around, that this might be a possibility. So we'll have to see where it goes this weekend, and if he actually gets on a plane and heads out to Harry Reid Airport, right? That's our airport here in Las Vegas. We'll see if he actually makes that flight. It's the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vinny Bonsignor.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love.
Dang, every time I do JT's show and I hear that, all of the food, you know, the Cane's, Raising Cane's, which I love. He's got some Grimaldi's going on. I start getting, it's lunchtime too, right?
Absolutely.
So, I got Danny, my producer, talking about this great Italian joint that does great sandwiches. So he's going to get me the name of that. So, I'm on the food drip right now. But we have some texters. So what do we got on the text line?
We do. All right. So starting off with Raider Dylan.
Okay.
Raider Dylan says, trade up to the number two to take Jaden Daniels. Whatever it takes, just don't give up Max Crosby whatsoever, and preferably keep Devontae Adams. Then go out and sign Chris Jones and Pat Queen.
Okay, I like that thought.
A lot of big goals there.
Yeah, that is ambitious. Let's put it that way. I do know from experience, everybody has their price. You know, so and I don't think that if you're Washington, you know, somebody like a Devontae Adams at his stage of his career, I would think that they want something younger. If you're going to have to throw a player in. I've mentioned the name Tyree Wilson just as a kind of a wild card. You know, this is a guy that was considered a top 10 pick, regardless of what happened last year. And he was coming off an injury, and there were some extenuating circumstances. But he was generally considered a top 5, top 10 type of a pick. So I don't think when you talk to NFL people, they still think highly of him. And would that be somebody that could be something that you throw into a trade package to sweeten the pot a little bit? To go get your quarterback. Not to say that it's absolutely needed, but if it comes to that and a player starts being discussed, is that a player that somebody like Washington or New England would be interested in to help make that deal complete? So we'll see. Anybody else?
Yes. So we also have Michael. He says, I hope we can sign Wilson for the minimum and let him and O'Connell battle out for the starter for this season while we let Jaden Daniels learn and observe for his rookie year.
Yeah, that's hitting a couple of home runs. But now, here's the thing, what I'm going to say, too. If you bring in Russell Wilson, he's coming in here to start. I know you'll say the whole, it's a quarterback competition, you know, you're going to have to earn the job. But essentially what's happening, what would happen is you're telling Russell Wilson, look, you're going to be the starter unless you completely – it's your job to lose.
Right.
You know, the thought that Russell Wilson would be coming in here to be in a true competition with Aiden O'Connell, I get it. And to some extent he will. Like if he goes out there and bombs, then you have no choice but to – you know, play Aiden O'Connell as a result of that. But I just don't see that happening. Like, he's going to play his way out of the gig necessarily. You're going to be bringing in Russell Wilson to start, you know, and then Aiden O'Connell becomes your backup quarterback. Could I see a scenario where you've got Russell Wilson, you've got Jaden Daniels, and you've got Aiden O'Connell? Quite frankly, no. And I think that if you got Jaden Daniels, yes, there would be a competition to start. You know, but with Aiden O'Connell, but more that would be more along the lines of, are you ready or not?
Right.
Because they're not going to trade everything that they're going to trade to go get Jaden without the expectation that you're the hope you're going to be the day one starter. And all the competition would be is to determine, are you ready? Can you go out there and compete? Or are you just not ready and you got Aiden O'Connell as the backup plan?
It's kind of one of those things, though. If you give up as much as you would need to move up in those top three and mm-hmm. draft one of those big three,
right?
Whether he's ready or not, I feel like he's got to be a day one starter, and then they'll figure it out if he's not up to par.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's a tough one because – and he also the other part of that, there's another component to that is – you still have some veterans like Davante Adams and Max Crosby, and they want to win, and rightfully so. And you can't do it if it comes at the expense of, like, we're not in any way, shape, or form ready to win with that quarterback in there. It's a JT Daniels show. I am Vinny Bonsignore.